This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Generation Next on Joy 94.9. It's a Monday night. We're on from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Now, I'm talking to our next guest. Jacob wrote an email to his local MP to express his opposition to the Victorian government's changes to the Anti-Discrimination Act that will allow religious groups the right to discriminate on the grounds of religion, sexuality, marital status and gender. Now, he wrote to the Victorian Liberal backbencher Jeff Shaw to outline an argument against the laws, and he responded the same day, likening the issue of protection from discrimination for gays and lesbians to being able to speed, murder or molest children. So, yeah, controversial stuff. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio, Jacob.
No problem.
Now, firstly, tell us about what was it that motivated you to write to Jeff Shaw in the first place?
Well, I think I've been aware of the changes happening with the changing government to the legislation, and I think aspects of sexuality are quite important to people, and it's not a facet of people that really should be allowed to have discrimination happening around.
So what do the laws actually do? I understand they're already in existence now. They're just renewing them.
So what happened was the Labor government was in the process of passing amendments to the Equal Opportunity Act, which made it a requirement for religious organisations to justify how discrimination... they had to justify based on their beliefs how a discrimination... in order to discriminate, basically. And now the Liberal government are seeking to make it easier.
Yeah. So basically, if you're like a teacher at a Christian school and you are gay, for instance, they would have the right to...
There's the possibility that they could...
To sack you.
Yeah. Purely based on that fact.
Yeah. The response has drawn a huge response from all quarters, basically. What was... firstly, tell us, what was the reaction from Jeff Shaw? What did he say to you?
Well, it was in the context of the email that he sent me. It was quite blunt. I did go quite cold to it because it was quite confronting. Like, I don't believe the things that he compared same-sex attraction to be valid at all, really. Mm. Several of the things that he listed were illegal, whereas in Victoria especially, homosexuality is legal.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to read what you wrote. You wrote, "I'm 20 in a week." I imagine you're 20 now.
Yep.
I'm able to vote. I want to work, live and love freely during the course of my life, and I want to do that without thinking that I can't. I fully endorse people's right to freedom of religious thought, worship and practice, and this doesn't mean that religious individuals and organisations should therefore have the right to impose their beliefs on others. And what Jeff Shaw wrote basically was, you state that you want to work, live and love freely. What if I love driving 150 kilometres per hour in residential areas? What if there were a convicted sex offender who stated that, or a child molester? It's a bit weird. Can they still do that if they want, under your statement? The answer is yes. What if they wanted to get drunk, take drugs, steal and murder? What if one loved this? Can they also do this without thinking that they can't? Now, you say that you read that and you sort of went cold. Did it sort of occur to you immediately thinking, well, this is really, really quite a strange thing for an MP to say?
It wasn't. It was something that I wouldn't have expected from an elected member present in an argument at all. Mm. Not at all.
What's the reaction been like to the story after it was reported in the media?
It's been huge. I think it's sort of rollercoastered, really. From when the article was posted, there's been tweets, there's been Facebook posts, there has been just this amazing show of support, and I think a similarity in thought too. I've had messages of support come in from people from the other side of the country. It's just been absolutely amazing to see that it's such a widespread belief.
I did notice yesterday and today it was trending on Twitter. Jeff Shaw, how's it like to be trending nationally on Twitter?
It's actually really humbling. I've read a couple of the messages and it's been some of them have been really quite emotive, and to have that sort of an impression from people is just really, really humbling.
Yeah, definitely.
Jacob, when you got this response, did you show it to anyone else, like really close to you? Did you show it to any of your friends or family members if they know that you're...
I did. I shared my response to the article with some very close friends of mine, and sought their opinions and along those lines.
What was their reaction?
They were more concerned about how I'd reacted to it. I think that there was the potential to react quite badly to it, but I don't know. I see it more as an avenue where change needs to be brought about. So more so than getting affected, I just want to work towards getting this, I think, changed in this area.
So Jacob Shaw says that he's been misrepresented. What do you think he means when he says that?
I'm not entirely sure. From the transcript that I made public, has been quoted word for word, verbatim. So I don't see how what he wrote could be taken out of context if it's the same thing, if it's the truth, basically, of what I received. I'm not quite sure what he meant by that statement at all.
Yeah, yeah. He has emailed you to kind of apologise. Tell us about what he wrote, basically.
So this morning I did receive an email from Mr. Shaw, and in it he apologised for any offence caused by what he initially wrote, which was nice. It was good to hear. But as you said, he also stated that he felt misrepresented from what he said, and from that avenue, I don't believe he's really taken ownership for what he did write. But where we go from here, I think, is still sort of a bit up for debate.
Yeah. I've read the whole email conversation that you had. I'm assuming that it is the whole email conversation, and that Shaw wasn't sort of misrepresented. And you do kind of remain very sort of civil in what you're saying.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, like, I kind of have a tendency to sort of fly off the handle a little bit whenever I see a little bit of injustice, but you kind of admirably, I think, sort of responded with facts and talking about the kind of things that young gay people face and laying out quite clearly the statistics relating to, you know, young gay people and suicide and depression rates. Was it sort of a concerted effort on your part to kind of be very rational about it, or is it I suppose just in your nature?
Not really.
I guess.
I think. Well, I don't see where a hateful or an angry response really could have gone with this. I don't think it would have been appropriate, for one, and it's not me really. This was just something that, well, the statistics, these conversations have been happening for years and years and years. And well, now we know, with the third instalment of the Writing Themselves In report, we know that this is a gradual progression and these things do occur. And I think just off of that basis, there's need for discussion and definitely standing up for what is reported.
Absolutely. We're going to come back in a couple of minutes if you can still join us after that.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Jacob Quilligan. Jacob Quilligan has been massive in the media today. He's the young man who sent the email to Liberal MP, whose response was not quite what he expected. You're listening to Generation Next. Send us a text message 0427JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. We're joined in the studio by Jacob Quilligan, who, as I said before, he's been massive in the media today. I don't want to sort of get too far ahead of myself, but trending on Twitter today, and that's a celebrity in my book. Now, just to sort of bring you up to speed, Jacob, he wrote an email to the member for Frankston, Jeff Shaw, to sort of say, express his opposition to the Victorian anti-discrimination laws being strengthened or renewed, and basically they allow schools and businesses and hospitals and stuff who have a religious background to hire and fire people based on a number of sort of rationales, including sort of gender, sexuality, and religion. I want to say race, but probably not race. Now, Jacob, Premier Ted Baillieu at this point, he hasn't spoken personally about the story, but a spokesman for his office says he was angry and upset about the homophobic comments. What do you think is the most appropriate response to the story? Do you think that Jeff should be sacked?
You mean overall?
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to be sacked, no. Yeah. I think as long as he... I would appreciate an apology, I think, that actually takes ownership of his comments and apologises for them. But I think with Ted Baillieu, considering that he is the leader of the party, I would like to see a comment from him in person what happened to.
I suppose it's really strange that he hasn't sort of come out, because it's, like I said, it's been a massive story in the media. Do you think that he's just sort of lying low, hoping that the story will kind of blow over and he won't have to make too much of a deal of it?
Not sure.
I'm being Darren Hinch today. I'm asking too many leading questions. Now, tell us about your involvement in Way Out. You're a co-founder of Out There Rural Victorian Youth Council for Sexual Diversity. Tell us about how you became involved with them.
Okay, so the Way Out project works with rural and regional areas in capacity building. So they're aimed at increasing the capacity of organisations, community groups and such, to better address the needs of same-sex attracted and gender-questioning young people. I got involved with the Way Out project about 3.5 years ago. I've been involved with them since then, and as you said, sort of been proactive with Out There occasionally, in various things.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of really good times.
Yeah. Have you kind of sent emails to people and sort of represented to people on behalf of Way Out before, or was that the kind of the first time that you'd done something like that?
No, not particularly. Like Out There had has submitted various pieces to different inquiries. So in relation to one they held back a little while ago, which was violence, the effects of violence, and with the equal rights, when they asked for comments for that, Out There's actually been quoted several times in the report that was finalised, and which was quite an incredible outcome.
Finally, what do you think is going to happen with the government's discrimination laws? Because this is the whole thing that sort of kicked it off. And I said before that it's kind of interesting how it's sort of become a bit of a secondary issue. I suppose for you, what you would like to see, I imagine, is sort of a change to the discrimination laws.
Well, you're right. You are right. Like I think the initial sort of core of what I was trying to get across to Mr. Shaw. Was that there's a group of people out there that can be afforded a greater amount of protection, which would be a very positive and beneficial thing. I don't believe that discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation has its place anymore. Yeah. And I'd just really like to see things change in that regard.
Yeah. I have read that you want to be working in the healthcare system. Is that kind of what prompted you to write the email and to be sort of concerned in the first place about discrimination laws?
I think it made it more prominent in my mind, but I think as a general rule, I've always been very passionate about this side of things, and I've always been a very strong advocate for sort of equality and equity.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's always been my prime focus.
Yes. Jacob Quilligan, thank you very much for joining us. I know your schedule is very, very hectic today. I appreciate you taking the time out. He spoke to Darren Hinch before, so he had him on the phone, so we had him in the studio. So this is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. It's 27 minutes past 7. Get your emails in 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. This is Generation Next with special guest host Emma. Say hello, Emma.
Hi, everyone.
And Josh, who's,
hey guys,
who's here every week. This is Generation Next on Joy. Yesterday, I lit the fire for the first time ever. Not the first time ever, the first time of the season. It's just gotten cold all of a sudden. I don't know. It's I kind of like the cold. What do you think, Emma?
The cold is my favourite. I love wearing scarves.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, as soon as the seasons change, people just think, oh, no, I don't like it.
No, I love it. Yeah, I love the cold. It's fantastic. Yes. You know, I have these UGG boots that I've had for about, I don't know, 8 years maybe now. And so the bottom of the UGG boot is coming apart from the top, so it's like a mouth at the end, right? So I get all the cold air coming into my toes. And the other morning I had to go to Coles really, really early, and I think my mum's listening now, so I had to get up at like 6 a.m. to get wrapping paper for her Mother's Day present because I hadn't wrapped it. Yes, I wrapped it at like 6 a.m. And I just woke up and I thought, you know what? I cannot be bothered getting dressed. And I did the unthinkable. I put my UGG boots on. I put my trackies. I put my uni jumper on. And I marched down to the car. I went to Coles looking like just death warmed up on a stick. and stood there and bought the wrapping paper, and they all knew that I was wrapping the present, like, right then. It was quite shameful, actually, because they gave me these looks as if I wasn't prepared. They all knew. It was like when I went to the post office and I sent off my card, and the woman behind the desk said, you know, for the past week, we've had men, only men, coming in, buying these overnight bags, you know, next day delivery bags, because they leave it to the last minute.
Men leave it to the last minute.
Always. I sent a card to my grandma, and they just, you know, and she was having a go at me, and I thought, well, you know, I'm busy. I've got things to do.
Exactly. Let us know what you did for Mother's Day, 0427JOY949, or email onair@joy.org.au. Going to change pace for a second now. Now, in Victoria, the public school system has built in a framework to open up classrooms to religious instruction in a program designed to broaden students' awareness of world religions. Now, some parents and teachers have expressed concern that schools have little or no say in hosting these lessons, and much has been said of the fact that 96% of all religious instruction is provided by Access Ministries, and many are wondering whether this is tantamount to Christian proselytising in secular public schools. On the line now, we have Michael Stutchbury. I hope I've got that right.
Yes.
Stutchbury, yeah. Michael Stutchbury is a high school civics and English teacher who's written extensively about the SRI program. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Well, cheers. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Tell us first about Access Ministries. For those of us who aren't familiar with who they are, who are they and what do they do?
Okay, they're kind of like an evangelical Anglican... they come from an evangelical Anglican background, and they've been reformed to sort of basically provide a ministry opportunity in Victorian primary schools. So they run about 96% of the programs across the state. Other religions are able to put in an application to provide their own programs, but overwhelmingly it's Access Ministries providing their program within the schools.
Michael, special religious instruction is not a new program in Victoria. Why is it attracting so much attention now?
Basically because people are having a look at it, and people are starting to look at the legislation and think that this is something that's, you know, I'm trying to find the words here, but it's there's a definite problem in that if Access Ministries approaches a primary school and says, can we offer the program, or would like to offer the program, the school is obligated to offer the program. So the school doesn't really get a say in whether it provides religious instruction or not. It has to under the law.
Yes, yeah. Was the law changed? Maybe this is my understanding of it. Was the law changed to sort of change the meaning of may provide religious instruction to must, so that they're obliged to, and the schools basically don't have any say?
Well, yeah, that's basically what the advice has come down from the Victorian government to parents that have been querying whether this is, you know, a legitimate, articulation of the legislation. So, basically, for the first time, maybe never, may is being taken to mean must.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in an article last year, the CEO of Access Ministries wrote in the website that it is her prayer that each child in Victoria will experience the transforming love of God and his son Jesus. However, Yvonne Patterson denies that the program is about proselytising. What evidence is there that Access teachers have been using the classrooms to push a religious agenda?
Well, basically, the entire sum total of the materials that they're using in schools. I mean, we're not talking about an ethics program here or trying to instill values. It's material that sort of talks about how God made the world and how God is your friend and how, you know, the God will forgive you if you do bad things and you know, if everything. If God is basically God's the best, it's not so much the sort of, you know, values and ethics and morals that you'd expect. It's basically that God is your friend. You must turn to God. God will help you.
Yeah, definitely, Michael. We're going to come back from a break. Hopefully, you can join us after this. Is that all right?
Sure. Yep.
This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. We've got Josh, Emma and Damien in the studio. We haven't formally introduced Damien, but he's in the studio today. So we've got a big Generation Next today. We're talking on the phone to Michael Stutchery. Now, Michael Stutchery is a high school teacher who's written extensively about his concern about what was that noise?
That was my phone. Sorry, guys. We've got a dodgy connection.
Oh, yeah. That's some sort of duck in the background there.
No, it's my phone.
Michael's written extensively about the school's special religious education program here in Victoria. It's attracted quite a bit of concern last couple of weeks. Now, much of the debate, Michael, about access has revolved around the fact that parents who do not want their children to participate in the classes have to opt out. And some people have suggested that it should be an opt-in system instead. Where do you stand on that matter?
Well, basically, those kids who opt out of the program aren't given anything else to do in that time. And when we're talking about an already very crowded curriculum with, you know, a whole lot of groups, secular and otherwise, trying to, you know, get their slice of the pie, it just doesn't seem an appropriate use of time to have kids sit in the hallway and draw or just, you know, aimlessly use a computer like there have been reports of students having to do.
Michael, you've been quoted in a number of media articles recently about a series of cartoons that's appeared on Access website. Mm-hmm. What were those cartoons about?
Well, basically, I had a friend pass me these cartoons in the last couple of weeks, and I had a look at it, and it was telling the story of a kid who was asking his teacher for help against a bully, and the teacher was sort of portrayed as, you know, your typical clock-watching, misanthropic, you know, angry bastard sort of teacher. Mm. And, you know, at first I chortled and I said, yeah, okay, it's, you know, it's a bit lame, and I can kind of identify with the teacher in some ways, you know, but, you know, and I'm a big guy and I can cop it. And then I thought, hang on, I'm not the audience for this, though. This is for 5-year-olds. This is, you know, this is not, I'm not the appropriate age group here. And I sort of thought, you know, what if I didn't have any of my critical reading skills? What if I wasn't able to sort of discern the difference between, you know, a comic meant to sort of illustrate a parable and a straight narrative that kids would be used to? And if you read it like a kid would read it, it sort of came out as, don't go to your teacher if you're being bullied because your teacher won't care. Pray to God. God will help you. Now, it's supposed to be a rewriting of a parable from the Gospel of Luke called the Parable of the Persistent Widow, but really, if you read it, you just do a straight reading of it, it really comes across as, you know, a kid, you know, being ignored by his teacher who insults him constantly, and then finally prays to God and gets some help.
Michael, what's happened with those cartoons now?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
What happened with the cartoons now?
Well, after my objections were raised, I mean, I just wrote a blog post, and it caught the eye of the Age, who reprinted my comments, and a couple of other people sort of weighed in on that issue, a couple of experts, and Access Ministries pulled all of their comics off the sites a couple of days later.
Yeah.
And so they're all gone now, and they issued an apology, which basically said, you know, oh, sorry, it was an external cartoonist, and we didn't know what was being sold. But I don't know, that doesn't seem to hold water for me.
We didn't know what was being sold.
Yeah. We didn't know, yeah.
it's
deny everything.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. I want to sort of change tack now. We had Jacob Quilligan in the studio just before. He's had to leave because he's a busy schedule today, and he's got a lot of other things happening. Yes, he's. I heard him on a number of other radio stations today being grilled about what happened to him. Yesterday, The Age published a story about his email from Jeff Shaw, who, you know, he'd originally objected to the Victorian government's plans to renew legislation allowing discrimination on the basis of religion, gender, sexuality. Now, he famously now responded by comparing homosexuality to exceeding the speed limit, taking drugs, murdering and child molesting.
Well, molestation, yes.
Yes. What was your reaction to that?
I simply cannot believe that an elected representative of the people would respond in such a way. I mean, what century is this? I'm sorry. I was blown away. At first I was laughing because I just couldn't believe it, but then I just had this deep sadness because, you know, I put myself in Jacob's shoes. Now, how would that feel to sort of have that kind of message given to you by someone who's supposed to represent you?
Definitely. What do you think should happen to Jeff Shaw? Because I've seen all day on Twitter people calling for the or the resignation or the sacking of Jeff Shaw. And well, I've asked Jacob himself, and he said that he doesn't want him to be sacked. He just wants an apology in person and a sort of a commitment that he is basically sorry for the substance of what he said.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is something that's really sort of problematic to me, because he's never going to resign or stand down purely because of the way that the numbers are. I mean, if he stands down, then that's the majority of the Baillieu government gone. So that's not going to happen. And I would sort of query any apology that he came out with, because looking at his background and looking at his involvement in the Pentecostal church down in the Mornington area, I wouldn't really see any apology from Jeff Shaw as being really, holding any water, to use a phrase that I used before. I think that what needs to happen is that Ted Baillieu needs to come out and sort of repudiate these comments. I mean, Clem Newton Brown, from the member for Piranha, has come out earlier this afternoon and sort of said, these don't represent what Jeff really thinks, but I don't really believe that. I think I need to hear something from the big guy. I need to hear something from Ted.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, if I was Jacob, that's what I'd want.
Yeah, yeah. What was your view of the anti-discrimination laws in the first place? Do you think that probably it does sort of have a place, or does Jacob have a point that that the idea of discriminating against somebody for their job because he's gay is essentially wrong?
Oh, look, I think it's a joke. I think it's a tool that can be wielded whenever anybody's got a problem with anybody. I mean, I'm a straight white male, and I've worked in Catholic schools and Lutheran schools, and I've basically said, I live with my partner, and we are not married, and they've basically said that that's not a problem. But I've heard of people that have got on the wick of one of senior staff at a school, and suddenly it has become a problem. I think it's nonsense that the ability to sort of discriminate on race, gender, the whole raft of things. I think that that really it's. I can see why within religious institutions, within the institutions themselves, that might have some validity. But really, when we're talking about places like schools and hospitals, where you're not going to get a majority of people who belong to a particular faith working in there, it's simply another discriminatory tool.
Michael Stutchbury, thank you very much for speaking to us. Michael Stutchbury is an English and civics high school teacher who's concerned about a couple of things, including the special religious instruction program, and as we were just talking about, the email that Jeff Shaw sent to Jacob Quilligan recently. Thank you very much for joining us, Michael.
No worries, anytime.
This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Hello, it is Baby Daddy from Scissor Sisters, and you are listening to Joy 94.9.
Now, we had Jacob Quilligan on before. Quilligan, that's an interesting surname, on before to talk about the email that the Liberal MP for Frankston, you might have read about it in the newspaper. I know it was reported quite extensively in The Age and a bunch of the sort of gay news sources here in Melbourne. Basically, Jeff Shaw wrote him an email to say that, demanding protection for his sexuality, gender, all those sort of things, is basically comparing it to child molestation and murder and speeding and all that sort of stuff. So a lot of people have had a lot of things to say about that. Got a couple of minutes left, 0427JOY949. If you want to send Ted Baillieu an email, I know a lot of people on Twitter today have been encouraging people to do that. It's ted.baillieu. Baillieu, Baillieu, at minstaff.vic.gov.au. Get yourself heard, because on Generation X, we often sort of encourage people to, contact their local MPs and meet up with people and basically have their concerns aired, because, I mean, there's no use sort of sitting at home and stewing about the world being unfair. You actually have to get out there and say, speak up and vocalise. Now, in the studio, for the last couple of minutes of the show, we've got Damien O'Mara from the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus.
Thanks for having me.
You're here as a representative of the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus, not the Youth Chorus.
No, the Youth Chorus.
The Youth Chorus?
The Youth Chorus tonight.
Oh, there you go.
As I am the leader of the Youth Chorus.
Yep.
We're having a big fundraiser this weekend at the Guildford Lane Gallery in the city, which is a very awesome, quirky warehouse conversion. 20 to 24 Guildford Lane. It's just near the corner of Queen and Latrobe. And we're having a fundraiser concert where the Youth Chorus is going to perform and try and raise the money to advance our own projects.
Fantastic. Now, this is your second project performance as part of the youth chorus.
Yes, it's our second solo sort of endeavor.
By yourselves, yeah.
Outside, like, obviously, we perform with the main chorus. It's not a full-fledged concert. It's an afternoon. It starts at 3, and it's just a relaxed, fun time with drinks at bar prices, $15 entry. It's just a great sort of experience. And the best part is that one thing that I've always wanted to provide that is now coming to fruition is a platform for some of the young artists involved. We've had a few artists write original pieces that they're going to perform for us, which is wonderful, and I've heard them and they're really good. It's this wonderful thing that the youth chorus can provide to young gay musicians, an avenue to perform and get heard. So looking forward to people coming along and hearing their great talent.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And is it the first time that you've had people from the chorus contributing kind of their own unique creative works?
Well, we have a lot of members who arrange music for us, arrange existing pieces, and obviously turn pop songs into choral pieces. And that's been amazing. But this is the next step. This is sort of, along with all of the amazing music that we get to do as a chorus, having some people really showcase their talent. So it's pretty exciting.
Excellent. Guildford Lane Gallery?
Yes. guildfordlanegallery.org. And it's 3 p.m. on Sunday the 15th of May. $15 entry on the door, drinks at bar prices. Everyone's welcome. Under 18s need a guardian. It's going to be a great afternoon. It's 3 to 5, relaxed, wonderful. You'll have a great time.
Get along to that. This is Generation Next. We've got to wrap up. Make sure you catch up with us on Facebook. Just search for us on Generation Next, twitter.com/GenNextJoy949, and the blog. Hopefully we'll have all the information about stuff we've been talking about today, the interview with Jacob Quilligan, also Michael Stutchbury, about the special religious instruction in schools. Hopefully have some helpful links for you guys if you're concerned. We'll also have the email for Premier Ted Ballew if you want to send him off an email. Just let him know your concerns, basically. This is Generation Next. I've been Jacob. I've been joined by Emma. Thank you very much for joining us, Emma.
No worries. Pleasure to be here.
Wonderful guest host. I love having a guest host. And also Josh, thank you so much for joining us. And Damien.
Thanks for having
As me. Always, this is a Generation Next on Joy. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.